That song was just going through my mind this morning as we were just thinking about that. And we have a certain connotation of celebration and what's it about and who's it for. But it's interesting, as we look into the Bible, we see some biblical celebrations. And really, they are pretty amazing, what God has shown and instructed us. And so, as we continue in this series, it's entitled Blueprints for Building. Today we're going to talk about what is real celebration. Maybe not so much in terms of having a big production, but what is real celebration involved? We're talking about God. We're talking about worshiping Him. What things might take place in a celebration like that? And so today we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah chapter 12, and that's on page 351. So there's blue Bibles in front of you. If you don't have a Bible today, you're going to need to have one, because I'm going to just go through that chapter briefly. And it begins on page 351, and we're going to talk about that. But let me just talk to you for a moment about where we're at in this series. Chapters 1 through 6 are about Nehemiah having a plan to rebuild the wall around the ancient city of Jerusalem that was destroyed. It was completely destroyed and had been sitting for years and years and years. Chapter 1, he hears a report. Chapter 1, he prays. Chapter 2, he shares a report with the king. 3, he goes. 4, 5, and 6, they build. Chapter 7, they're done. They've actually completed the wall. Now, not the same original wall, but a good portion of the wall, and they've enclosed it. But Nehemiah has 13 chapters. So we get to chapter 7, and really you have to ask the question, after you've accomplished something for God, what do you do next? And so the thing that's going on in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 7 is they've got to repopulate that city. The people are living all outside the city, and so they've got to repopulate the city. And as we've talked about, it's always a hassle to move, isn't it? That's not an enjoyable thing. Most people don't like to move a lot. It would be the same way for God's people. And so God does some amazing things in chapter 8. They find His Word and they start reading it, and kind of a mini revival breaks out. In chapter 9, there's an amazing prayer. And so we see God's Word and prayer as key parts of that revival. And then in chapter 10, they rededicate themselves to the Lord. And they do this in a very tangible way, where they sign a document and recommit themselves to the Lord in four areas. And we saw that in chapter 10. And then what happens, after they've done those steps, they cast lots. Remember last week we did a little lot casting in here? We did, didn't we? We cast lots and we set up kind of a hypothetical situation. Who's moving out? Is it the closest? Yeah, all right. So you guys, we haven't seen you move in there. There is air conditioning in there. Yes, there is air conditioning in there. And so it might not work great, but there is air conditioning in there. And so anyway, last week we just talked about this. And what happened is people started moving back into the city. Now, way back in chapter 7, I asked you, I said, what do you do after you accomplish a goal? And one lady said, you celebrate. And I said, you're right. Edna, we're finally there. She wanted it in chapter 8, but she didn't write the Bible. And so what happens now is a celebration after they've been through all these steps with God, and there's been kind of a mini revival. We're going to look at a celebration. And so that is what chapter 12 is about. We're just going to look at three simple things today that involve biblical celebration. Some of these might surprise you, but this is what God sees when He talks about celebrating Him and His work. So go to chapter 12, and here we go. It says this, these were the priests and the Levites. All right, that's as many verses as I'm going to read for a while. The rest of these verses, all the way to verse 26, these are all the priests and the Levites. I'm not going to read those names. Most of them I would destroy when I would try and pronounce them. And so we're not going to read those, but you need to know that they called in the priests and those who assisted them, the Levites, in terms of gathering all these people together in Jerusalem to prepare for this celebration. That's the first 26 verses. Isn't that a good way to handle the first 26 verses? You want me to read through them? You want me to go verse by verse and name by name and explain the meaning of the name and do all that? No, I'm not going to do that, Mike. Just do a couple of them. Well, no, I'm not going to do any of them. So that's verses 1 through 26. And if you want to do that, let me encourage you to get a Bible dictionary and look at the names, and many of them you can find. There's definition, there's explanation about them, but I'll let you do that on your time. Just need to know. The priests and the Levites were all called back in along with the singers to come and to celebrate. All right, now verse 27. At the dedication of the wall. So we are dedicating the wall now of Jerusalem. The Levites were sought out from where they lived, and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate what? Joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving, with the music of what? Cymbals, harps, lyres. That's a musical instrument. The singers were also brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of those people, from Beth Gilgal and from the area of Geba. For the singers had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and the Levites had purified themselves, ceremonially they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So what are they doing here? They brought in the priests and the Levites. We know that. Brought in the choirs, for lack of a better term. That's what they're called here, the choirs. They brought in all kinds of musical instruments. Most of these instruments we don't even recognize today. A harp we would, but what's a lyre look like? You're looking at one, right? No. No. This is a musical instrument called a lyre. See? And so we don't really know. Any instrument can be used to worship God. They used these. We used, what, guitars, drums, keyboards, all of these, tambourines, it doesn't matter. The instrument is irrelevant. Fact is that we can worship God with any instrument. Now, they did something. They purified themselves. Now, back in the book of Leviticus, before they went in to the promised land, there was all these rules and regulations that they had to follow to purify themselves. And the priests would start the whole process, and the Levites would continue. It could involve washing of hands. It involved all kinds of things so that you symbolically purified yourself before the Lord when you came into His presence. Now, it's interesting, when they had the wall and buildings, they would go around and purify the buildings too. We don't really do this today, but they had the process and they had the command to do that. And so that was part of preparing for a celebration, was purifying themselves. And that's what they did. And these four or five verses that I have just read, I think they'll give us the first thing when we're talking about celebrating and celebrating God. What does it involve first and foremost? Go to your outlines. On your outline, let's start with this. In real celebration, we confess our sin. For us today, when we want to really celebrate God, it starts with us purifying ourselves. It starts with us taking an opportunity to celebrate. But before we do that, we confess our sin. And we take the time to do this before a celebration. Now, have you been to any kind of a celebration related to anything with church and seen something like that? Probably most of us haven't, have we? But in this celebration, they did. We're going to do something. Rick, can you come up here for just a moment? And Rick's going to play just softly. We're going to take just a couple of minutes here to celebrate the Lord. But before we do that, we need to do what they're doing. We need to confess our sins. So as Rick is just going to play softly, take a moment. You may have come today. Let me ask you something. Have you come purified to church today? Have you come ready to really listen to God? Did you have one of those mornings? Maybe things didn't go so well with the kids, maybe with your spouse, might not be ready really to receive that all God has for you today, here's what I'd like you to do. Bow your head. I'm just going to ask you to pray silently and just ask God to forgive you for something, maybe not even this morning, this past week. Because we want to worship and we want to celebrate the Lord and do it in the way they did this. It starts with confession. Lord, we thank you that we need you, that we understand how important you are in our lives. And when we celebrate, Lord, we want to even come this morning. We confess we come to church too often, not even ready to hear your voice, to worship you. Lord, this morning I pray that as each one has taken a moment just to ask for forgiveness, that you will guide them, direct them, and I know you will forgive them. Lord, we need you. We cannot do this. We cannot live without you. We need you. And we praise you for who you are. Lord, thank you that in 1 John it says, if we confess, you forgive. We are asking for forgiveness, Lord. We don't want to ever take it for granted a time that we come into our house, into your house, and worship you. Lord, we come week after week and we're not even close to you. And this morning we want to make that right. And we want to make a commitment to making that right every week. So Lord, as we watch a celebration that you have ordained, we thank you that you hear us and that you forgive our sins, that you cleanse us. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Thank you, Rick. So, how did they actually celebrate? What did they do? Well, what we're going to see here in just a moment, this is really cool. What's going to happen? You have Ezra, one of the spiritual leaders of the nation. You have Nehemiah. What they're going to do is they're going to divide into two groups. And then what they're going to do is they're going to go around the city on this wall that they've just built. And they're going to have singers and they're going to have instrumentalists come. And they're going to walk around. And then these two choirs are going to span the whole city on either side. And they're going to meet up at the wall across from where they're at. Just picture that. We're going to read it in just a minute, but think about that. What an amazing way to celebrate. Kind of cool idea. You know where we get the idea for surround sound? No, it's not something brand new. Surround sound started in the Old Testament. This is an example of Old Testament surround sound. So look with me now as we continue to read and continue on with verse 31. Verse 31. I had the leaders of Judah go up on the top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. Look what they're going to do. They're going to what? Give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right towards this place, this particular gate. Then we have this individual and half the leaders of Judah followed them. Then in verse 34, Judah, Benjamin, verse 35, as well as some of the priests and trumpets, and also Zechariah. Then you have a bunch of names and his associates with musical instruments prescribed by David, the man of God. Ezra the scribe led the procession. At the fountain gate, they continued directly up the steps of the city of David on the ascent to the wall and passed above the house of David to the water gate on the east. So what do we have? Ezra is leading a group. They're going around. Just think of it as the aisle here in our building. They started, they would go up this side here. And they would go around. They'd have musicians and trumpets and musicians and singers and all of this. And they're going all the way around to the back. That was one of the choirs. Look at verse 38. The second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. I followed them on the top of the wall, I being Nehemiah, together with half the people past the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall, over the gate of Ephraim, the fish gate, the tower, to the Tower of the Hundred as far as the sheep gate. At the gate of the guard, they stopped. All right, so now you have two choirs surrounding this whole area. All right, verse 40. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their place in the house of God. So did I, together with half the officials, as well as the priests. And then we named these with their trumpets. All right. It's interesting. They went around, and then look with me at verse 40. The two choirs that what? What did they do? What's the two words there? Gave thanks. Now, let's talk about this. What is the second thing you do in a biblical celebration on your outline? It's this. In real celebration, what? We are thankful. That's the purpose of these choirs. And they were thankful as they walked across that wall and went all the way around. They said, thank you, God, for what you have done in providing this wall and in this being finished. We are grateful. We are thankful. Now, it's interesting. When you think about a celebration, you think about purifying yourself. That's what they did biblically when they focused on celebrating God. And second, they were thankful to God. They rejoiced in what He was doing in their lives, and they worshiped Him. Now, this morning, we're thankful. It is warm in here, isn't it? But it's hot in here. I just want you to know we started the air conditioning out early this morning, so it's not like we didn't prepare for this, but it's just very warm out. But we are thankful. We are thankful. Let me tell you two reasons we're thankful. Number one is that there are churches around the world that are open to having us come, not to teach them, not to tell them what to do, but to serve them. And we've had an invitation to go to a number of different places and have gone. And I'm looking forward to going this week in preparation to share, not only on Sunday, but also all through the week. We have meetings in the evening. Now, in order to do that, many people have given so that I can go. And last week we took an offering where you gave so that when I go, I will be able to give gifts. And I think probably the best thing, maybe one of the best things we've done recently is had Dennis and his wife here. These are the kind of kids that we run into over there. They're sharp. They're articulate. They're serving God. They already speak the language. And so I will be going, and I'm going to take about $600. That's what you gave last week. Praise God. And I'm going to go and just ask that God would guide me to people that I could give and just rejoice in doing that. And helping out. The other thing I'm thankful for is that we have an example in the New Testament of when people would go, that the church would send them. And you know, as I have had the opportunity to be in different churches, we usually would just have the board do this. And I think that's a great precedent. There's nothing wrong with that. But I also like the whole church to go and to send us. So I'm going to stand right here in the middle. Now, you don't have to get up and all bear hug me, because that would just be just hot today. But if you'll just come, go ahead and stand up and just touch me and then touch the person in front of you, we're going to commission me to go and to... You don't want to touch me because I'm hot and sweaty today. Come on up here, Mike. And just touch the person in front of you. What we're doing in the New Testament, it was very symbolic to lay hands on somebody and to touch them. And to say, we're blessing you as you go. We're committing you as you go. And we're just trusting that God will guide and protect you as you go. And I'm going to ask, Mike Wilkerson is a former board member here. And Mike, if you're comfortable, and I know you are, I'm going to ask you to pray and just commit the time together this morning as I go. And then I'm going to have Mike Hornfull, if he would close. So Mike, if you would, please. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So anyway, what an amazing thing that the New Testament church would do. And we try and do this whenever people go and whenever they travel. And I'm just getting used to all this humidity. It's just going to be so good. One more part of this. Real celebration. Let's continue on. Say verse 43. Are you with me at verse 43? And on that day, they offered what? Great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard what? Far away. At that time, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits and tithes from the fields around the towns. They were to bring into the storerooms and portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did also the singers, gatekeepers, according to the commands of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the singers, for the songs of praise, thanksgiving to God. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all Israel, look at this, interesting word, the word what? All Israel contributed the daily portion for the singers, gatekeepers. They also set aside the portions for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron. Great sacrifices were offered. They came down off the wall. That probably took a while to do that. That would have been really neat to hear all those trumpets and instruments and singing, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 numbers. I don't know. Then they all came down off the wall. They gathered together and they offered great sacrifices to the Lord and saying, God, you have blessed us. You have done this. Praise be to you. And they sacrificed to him. And then they did something really interesting. They enjoyed fellowship and eating. And then they opened up the doors, the storerooms, and they began to bring in these different examples of tithes that they had in the Old Testament. They would bring in food and grain and all of these things, and they would bring them to the storeroom. And these would be offered as sacrifices, but they would also feed the priests and the Levites with this food, and that's the way that God designed the whole system to work. It's interesting. This is a third part of celebration that doesn't fit with our society. When we talk about celebrating God, most of it we're thinking is for us, and it's for me. It's so different in the Bible. On your outline, in real celebration, we give gladly. What they did is they were giving offerings at a celebration. They just stopped and they said, praise be to God, and they brought in what they needed to bring in and to trust God and to do this, and they gave gladly. Let me tell you something. Were these economically difficult times in Nehemiah's day? You saw that in chapter 4. There were famines. There were shortages. All of these things. And these people, in spite of difficult times, sometimes we even think today, man, I'm not sure I can give to God. You know what gas is now? God, you're not big enough to handle our gas problem. Man, look at the groceries. Oh my, all the other things. God's people give during tough times. These people gave an amazing amount to God. They sacrificed and gave to Him. The economic times have nothing to do with it. God will still be given what is His by God's people. They gave gladly. They did this. Celebration. This is exactly the opposite. Because when we celebrate, it's all about us enjoying things. And let me just say, it's okay to enjoy some things. Moderation, wisdom, you know, but to enjoy things. But when we talk about celebrating God, it's just the opposite. We give. We don't take. Typically, when you enjoy celebration, you're taking something. Now, they give. And they gave. And they gave. And they gave. This is real celebration. This may be maybe a picture, a little glimpse of heaven with this little celebration where they gathered together and went on the walls. There's some snapshots, I think, of what it might be like in heaven. Maybe that's part of it. You know, it's interesting. When I taught the Old Testament book of Joshua, there's an amazing celebration later on in that book where a million people are on one side, and a million people, potentially, or half a million here and half a million here. It depends on how many there were. We're not sure. But they were singing praises to God back and forth. And in the middle, the priests were leading them as they did that. We have no idea. We think we have some amazing celebrations today, and we do. But they pale in comparison to some of the stuff that went on in the Old Testament. And we think we have kind of the idea of how God should be celebrated, but there's some amazing pictures in the Old Testament, especially, of worshiping God. Real celebration. Real celebration where you say, God, it's about you, and it's about you alone. It involves purifying yourself. It involves confessing your sins. It involves worshiping you through song. And it involves giving. It involves giving because we love God, because of what He has done for us, and what He will do for us for all eternity. Amen? Amen. You know what? I almost feel like giving an offering. We actually are, though. It's we're going to receive our offering. And let me just say, these are tough times economically. They are. These are tough times. But God's people face probably more difficult times than we have. We appreciate those of you who give. And give. And those of you, I'd say even that those of you that are taking those first steps in giving, God's going to take care of blessing you. He takes care of that in so many different ways. This morning, as we conclude in just a moment, talking about biblical celebration, we're going to give you the opportunity to give and to help us as we continue to do the ministry here on this campus. And we praise God for what that is. And this week is one of the key weeks of ministry. We have Vacation Bible School. And we look forward to that. Bow with me in prayer again, would you? Thanks, Lord. What a neat look at a chapter tucked away in Your Word that helps us to better understand You and Your heart. Helps us to better express ourselves to You. Helps us to better understand how we can improve our relationship with You. Lord, we just thank You for this. We thank You for these two choirs that sang and the instruments that played. And it said the joy was very loud. We praise You that we can express ourselves to You in that way. There's times we express ourselves to You in very quiet thoughts also. Lord, I pray that and thank You as we give. We do that gratefully. We understand times are tough, but You are still God. You are still in control. And You still want us to step out in faith and trust You. Lord, we praise You for this day. And we commit and rejoice in what You are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.